Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lee, so many times when I go in public, as we did last night, the 4th District Republican Club's great opportunity to meet many word listeners, I have young people come up to me, as I did last night, several actually, who said, yeah, I love your show. And I always say, well, how did you find it? Oh, listening in the back of my dad's car.
Yeah.
I was made to listen to you.
Yeah.
Didn't like it at first. I always go the same way. Didn't like it at first, but now I love it. It's changed my life. I'm like, yeah, because it's so different from what you heard in school, right? Like night and day. And after a while, you start to get interested. Like, wow. So I want to ask everyone's patience today, Lee, as we pause the show here, because I know right now that a lot of kids are in the car. They're in the back seat. Dad's making them listen to this. And I want to ask dad or mom to turn up the volume. I know it's not this way for all schools, but a lot of you roll in by about 7:20. So I want to tell you something today. My kids are on the Greenville County curriculum. They go to virtual school. So I know what the curriculum is. I'm very familiar with it since I help my kids all the time. And I want to tell you something that you're probably not going to hear in class today. And look, a lot of your teachers, they're just teaching what the curriculum is. It's not their fault. Okay. So I don't make you doubt or disrespect your teachers in any way. They're victims too. Okay. But I want to tell you something. Because I know from helping my kids, it is amazingly, from social studies to science to Spanish class, they're all imbued with climate change rhetoric now. Everything is anti-carbon, carbon's bad, fertilizer's bad, we don't need as much food, what will we eat? They never say. I mean, it's all part of it because we have to fight global warming or climate change, as they call it, okay? I want to tell you something. They scare the heck out of you in school. It's not true. And I want to give you a piece of information to keep in your mind. This is from SciTech Daily. Headline, Antarctica's astonishing rebound, ice sheet grows for the first time in decades. Why? Because it's cooling. That's why. Between 2021 and 2023, the Antarctic ice sheet, often referenced in Greenville County School's curriculum, experienced, and I wouldn't surprise me if it's Spartanburg too, experienced a record-breaking increase in overall mass. Largest ever observed. Now, if you listen to Tara Show, Lee, you're not surprised by this. We've had Tony Dale on, recovering meteorologist, as he calls himself, former meteorologist. He's now a financial advisor. But he has explained to us we are going into a cooling period, that the quote-unquote climate change, which climate changes all the time on the Earth, is most influenced by the sun, by solar activity, not by how much gas you burned on your way to school, not by the use of carbon. Carbon it cycles through the air, cycles. There's a carbon cycle just like there is a water cycle. You probably learned about the water cycle in school. Notably, four major glaciers in the Wilkesland, Queen Maryland region of East Antarctica reversed their previous pattern of accelerated mass loss from 2011 to 2020 and instead showed significant mass gain during the 21 to 23 period. Record-breaking gain in mass. It's refreezing, which means it's not warming. Which means if that can happen, Lee, when we haven't, not only have we not made any major changes in the amount of carbon gases we put into the air, because, I mean, between China and India, they had a new coal-fired plant every day. Every day. And not only have we not changed that, we're burning more than we have in decades. And it's cooling. That shouldn't be possible. But it is. Why? Because it's a lie. The carbon will cycle right through the atmosphere as it always has. It'll go back into the earth. It'll come back up. That's what it does. It doesn't change anything. And so I want you to hear this. And I also want to I want to pull this out too, Lee, real quick, and then I want to get your take on this. Headline, and I want to, this is from 2023, okay, December. EPA's own data shows only 19% of all climate stations reported warming since 1948. A total of 81% reported either a decrease in temperature or no change in the number of hot days. It's not happening. It's not real. I know they scare you with it at school. There's a lot of things you should worry about with your world. This ain't one of them. And so I just want to, and I hope Tony Dale's waking up this morning to this, because he told us we're headed into a cooling period. You can tell that by the solar activity. We are going to see cooler average temperatures across the board. We still have some record highs. We'll still have some record lows. But across the board, it is cooling. And you are seeing that right now with the Arctic ice sheet. This is mainstream science. This is not some, you know, science climate depot. Study was just published. Have you seen this in the media, Lee?
No. And you won't.
No, you won't.
Because the mainstream media, and sadly this includes a lot of conservative-leaning news sites, still feel like that they are obligated to pass this narrative around.
Yeah, and look, if you're wondering, you're in the back of your dad's car, why would they tell me these things that aren't true about the climate? And it has to do with the left wanting to take control of and control the population through control of energy and of food. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is not new for the left. They've been doing this since the time of Marx. You can read about how everyone from the Communist Chinese Party, they starved 100 million people, to Stalin, to Lenin, used the control of energy and the control of food to control populations. This is just their excuse for doing, well, we've got to cut down on the fertilizer. We got to cut down on the growth. We got to cut down on the climate gas. It's got to cut down on populations become helpless when they don't have access to energy and food. That gives governments ultimate power if they can seize these things. And that's why they're doing this. This is a very old playbook, and their excuse is global warming, climate change, whatever they're calling it now.
And of course, the biggest enemy of that is capitalism.
Yes, capitalism. Capitalism delivers cheap energy. Cheap energy produces cheap goods. Cheap goods gives us a lifestyle like no one has ever lived before. And if you're living that kind of life, I mean, think about it, Lee. Like, I love watching historic documentaries. I do it all the time. I mean, you're looking back at, like, you know, Roman emperors. We live better than they did.
Yeah, much.
Much, and it gets better every year. And now, you know, obviously there's some downsides to AI and some of the tech stuff we're developing, but there's vast upsides, too. Yeah. We need a lot more computing power for the average person to be able to harness that. And where does that come from? Energy. And this is the left trying to step in and get in the way of that, because they want government dependence and they have to smash capitalism in order to smash your independence and make you dependent on government. I'm telling you, it's all going on. If you watch it in your life, you'll see it. I don't want to go too far on my high horse here, but what I do want you to take away is you're going to school today. You do not need to worry about climate change. Don't even worry about it. It's been going on since the beginning of time. It will go on for thousands more years. It is not caused by the carbon cycle. It is not caused by use of everything from, you know, coal to natural gas. It's not. You're seeing solar activity changes. You can reference my Battleground America podcast. I'll put it back up on Twitter if you want to listen to that too. Tony Dale brilliantly breaks it down. When the solar activity changes, it gets hotter, it gets cooler. This has been going on for millennia. It's going on now. And that is why, if you're just tuning in, the Arctic ice sheet is experiencing record-breaking gains. It's freezing right now. Which is good news, Lee, right? We need Absolutely. Some good news. There's a lot of stuff we got to worry about. This isn't it.
Yeah.
This isn't it. And finally, for those of you who, you know, are young and maybe haven't been with the show for very long, your parents just discovered me, do this thing because it's fun, okay? I can't believe they still have this up on Google. It's my favorite article of all time. It's the Associated Press, your favorite, Lee. The Associated Press put in 1989 prediction, Associated Press, global warming.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. I can't believe they haven't taken it down. A senior UN environment, this is written in 1989. A senior UN environmental official says entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if the global warming trend is not reversed by the year. Here's your punchline, 2000.
Checking today's calendar, that was 25 years ago.
Yes. And so the whole point of this article was these ice sheets were going to melt. We're going to drown. Florida would be gone, according to this. Parts of, you know, major countries would be gone. As the warming melts the polar ice caps, ocean levels will rise by up to 3 feet, enough to cover the Maldives and other flat island nations. Parts of Florida might be gone. No, it's not happening. In fact, again, the opposite is happening. The ice sheet is thickening. So don't go making any major life decisions based on, you know, what climate change is going to do. It's good. We're fine. Coastal flooding and crop failures will create an exodus of eco refugees, according to the U.S. None of this happened by 2000. None of it. So, and again, you know, your teachers are, I know, teaching this stuff, and a lot of them probably just follow the curriculum. They don't know what they're doing. So, you know, these are great things you could take into class. And if you want to have some fun, challenge it. But I wanted to make sure I hit the kids in the cars on the way to school this morning with this message, because I know by the end of the day, you will be loaded up with a brain full of junk science at Greenville County Schools, maybe the others in the region too. And you don't need to be. So good news there. All right. Coming up on the show, so many big wins today, including what Trump is doing at Harvard, which still has some on our side confused. I'm going to break it all down and explain it coming up next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two wars going on this morning. First one we laid out in the first hour. It was great radio. We're at war with Iran. Astonishing number published in the Jerusalem Post this morning. 1,000 strikes by our military on the Houthis. That's not just some strikes or some retaliation. That's war. And the Houthis are, of course, a proxy group of Iran. We are annihilating them. We're not just punishing them, suggesting they remove themselves from the Red Sea and stop blocking our cargo ships and stop firing on our military ships. That's beyond that. That's war. We'll get back into that as the show unfolds. Fascinating why and the fact that it's going on. And the fact that Trump is kind of keeping it low key, really, the extent of it. There's another war going on. It's a desperate struggle. And that war is a war with our Pentagon, it's a war with the military, specifically a war with the top brass installed over 10 years by Barack Obama and Joe Biden. And the purge has begun this morning. I'm thrilled to announce this. I was waiting for it to happen. I was hoping it would happen, because if it doesn't happen, we're not going to win. Here's the announcement of the purge, and then I'm going to break down what is happening here and why.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is ordering the Pentagon to cut 20% of the military's highest-ranking officers and shift resources to warfighters.
This is not a slash and burn exercise meant to punish high-ranking officers. Nothing
yes, it
could
is.
Be further from the truth. This has been a deliberative process, working with the Joint Chiefs of Staff with one goal: maximizing strategic readiness and operational effectiveness by making prudent reductions in the general and flag officer ranks.
Hegseth says there are currently 44 four-star and flag officers across the military, making for a ratio of one general to every 1,400 troops, compared to the ratio of one general to every 6,000 troops during World War II.
Okay, they're not wrong. They need to cut the bloat, obviously. And that's a great justification for doing it, but that's not what's happening here. Our military had begun to be at war at the international level with the American people. Now, if you haven't listened to talk radio that long, or you've only listened a few years, you don't know about this. But I talked for years about what Barack Obama did. He purged the military of 111 top rank officers. And it was a political purge. They didn't even hide it. Media was cool with it. They thought it was brilliant. If you were not a hardcore leftist, avowed Marxist, or a fellow traveler, you were not serving as the top brass in the military. They early retired some of them, pushed them out the door, offered them deals, persecuted them politically if they couldn't. They shoved all of them out. 111, gone. Our military's never been the same. The goal has always been to be able to turn the military against the American people, specifically freedom-loving American people, the kind of people who used to serve in the military. Phase one of that happened, well, phase two of that happened during COVID. I should say it's more like phase two. That's why they forced the shot. They would push out independent thinkers, the kind of people who would challenge an activist Marxist military. the kind of activist Marxist military where, oh, I don't know, people like Mark Milley call up China and say, I hate Trump. I'm not going to obey his orders. Just, I wanted you to know that in case he goes to war with you. Oh, by the way, I've had the rest of the top brass pledge allegiance to me. Okay, that is treason. And yet they got so comfortable with it, Milley bragged about it to Bob Woodward and he put in his book. This is a problem. The military needs to be purged. But there's this other problem. If you're a long-term listener to the Battleground America podcast, you will understand the reason they were building the military the way that they were was so they could come after us. There's something called the Cyber Threat Intelligence League. It is a partnership between our Pentagon, various arms of our Pentagon, British intelligence, British military, and the other Five Eyes. This incredible story was broken by liberal, of all people, journalist Michael Schellenberger, one of the best there is. It's called the CTI League, and it was launched in the Obama White House in 2017. Its purpose was twofold: censorship of Americans on social media, and also a counter disinformation project that would begin to push the talking points of the left out. Censorship was key. We saw some of that by the FBI, some of it by the Department of Homeland Security, and some of it by the Pentagon and military contractors that it tasks what with it tasked with what was called a disinformation campaign that went beyond censorship. This involved offensive operations to influence public opinion, discuss ways to promote counter messaging, co-opt hashtags, dilute disfavored messaging, create sock puppet accounts, and infiltrate private invite-only groups, as well as massive takedowns of accounts, basically that we now know telling the truth. It's called the Disarm Framework. It was done in partnership, in part, with the World Health Organization. But this is them. This is a partnership across Europe and across the U.S. with our Pentagon, our Department of Homeland Security, and British intelligence mainly to silence me, to silence you. That is a war on the American people. That is an absolute horror show of a Bill of Rights offense. But this story is a happy ending because people who did it are going out the door. And that's the excuse right there. Well, we're going to have to cut 20% of the upper management. You bet you do. So two things are going on right now with our military, and it's very, very exciting. Number one, the ranks are swelling. We are breaking recruitment records or recent recruitment records. Our people, real normal Americans with normal American sensibilities, are flooding into the military again. And this old Marxist leadership is being pushed out. This is the Marxist leadership that in the Navy, you can be brought up and tried on criminal code charges for using the wrong gender pronoun. The purpose of these folks was not to keep Americans safe, not to defend Americans, but to ultimately turn the military on Americans. You already saw that in this partnership that I documented exhaustively in the Battleground America podcast. Another one of the groups was called AMIT, A-M-I-T-T. Again, that's military contractors doing the work of silencing Americans in a partnership with British intelligence. They are not our friends. They had a crew of 1,400 members in 76 countries, 45 different sectors, who were censoring the American people. Another part of this is called Softworks. It was, of course, a project of the U.S. Special Forces Command and the Doolittle Institute. There were Air Force censorship technologies that were transferred to contractors. This was overseen by the Air Force Resource Lab, and Americans were censored that way too. And again, we've been documenting this for years on the Battleground America podcast. So this is who needs to go. They need to go inside. This is what I hope they are doing, but I bet I know they're doing, and they need to purge these people and to get them the heck out. This is not how the founders intended our military to be used against us. On our soil from abroad, because the new digital landscape allows that. And folks, ultimately, remember last fall when we had the top prosecutor in the UK say, hey, I'm going to start extraditing Americans for trial here in the UK for speech crimes on social media that violate our laws. Where did they get the idea they could do that? That was awfully uppity, right? Well, they've been working with the Pentagon for years to censor us. Democrats loved it. Obama put it in place, so Biden kept it going. That's where they got the idea they could go to the next step and start, you know, extraditing us for speech trial. That all of this is connected. And that right there, Pete Hegseth, that I just played, that's the beginning of the end of that. These people have to be purged. Obama did it. He fired 111. Media loved it, thought it was brilliant. We could do it too. But the media is not going to remind you of that. They're going to pretend. You're going to hear the Trump is a dictator rhetoric today. No, they were dictators. Trump is putting things right. It's one of the top five stories in the country right now. Everybody's talking about it. Harvard receiving a blistering letter from the Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon. No longer to receive federal grants, tax-exempt status to be yanked. It's in question. Yeah, Harvard's out of control. Harvard has become, and I feel like we've really demonstrated this on the show, honestly, more of a terror recruitment center than anything else. A place where terror groups can send their sympathetic minions to recruit for the cause. That is where we are right now. And this letter lays it out perfectly. Folks, just to give you some idea of what we're up against, just explain kind of why Trump is obsessed with this, aside from the Jew hatred and the physical intimidation of Jews that got really caused so much of this to come into focus. The way the visa system works in this country is that these foreign students apply to places like Harvard, knowing the left will celebrate them if they have connections to designated terror groups like Hamas. They openly brag about it in their applications, knowing it will help them get in over people who say are American, don't have an interest in Hamas, but don't need help with remedial math. In other words, people who are the best and the brightest, they get rejected while people who need help with remedial math and come from Gaza and come from Syria get into Harvard. And then when they get there, oh my gosh, what they do. Folks, you got to see this for yourself. It's on my X account right now. This is insane. Do not expect to learn from the New York Times or NPR that Motion Madawi, who has now become the face of this group, of these, in terms of the left saying, hey, we need free speech, we want to celebrate all people, we should be allowed to have people like Motion on our campus. What they do is they give visas, okay? The school, they fill out the immigration forms via the school accepts them. They are taking terrorist sympathizers and outright terror recruiters, and they're taking them into their schools. And then the university turns around to the government and says, okay, they've filled out all the immigration forms. We've accepted them. Would you rubber stamp it? And of course, the Biden administration does. And that's how these people got there. Some of this, in all fairness, was going on in the Trump administration too. It's just he wasn't really attuned to it. Let me give you an example. Motion Madawi. You probably hear about him a lot. He is currently fighting to keep his student visa. He says he is being persecuted against on free speech grounds. Well, here's what the New York Times and NPR won't tell you. This is just an example. He was reported to the FBI in 2015 for bragging to a gun shop owner about killing Israeli Jews and that he loves to kill Jews. And that's why he was buying a gun. Great guy. We can't find anyone else. He's a Columbia activist, by the way, and they're next. Now, here's just so you know who this guy is, okay? I mean, it's shocking like somebody like this is even in the country, never mind on a student visa. Madawi, and folks, this is what I'm talking about. He's recruiting. Madawi praised three terrorist leaders in the Al-Qassam Martyrs Brigade who were killed, including his cousin. Who are they? The Al-Qassam Martyrs Brigade. Remember the guys in the hang gliders? Flew in, massacred all those innocent kids. Who were at the concert, raped the women, killed the men, then killed the women. That's who they are. Al-Qassam Martyrs Brigade. Including his cousin. They're martyrs. He praised them on campus. Now, these activists are brought in to serve as a nexus for terror. They are. They are. They are recruiting for terror. And these places call it free speech. Okay. You may like Hamas. You may hate Hamas. It doesn't matter. Hamas is a U.S. designated terror organization and has been since the 90s. If you or I start raising money for ISIS, we start recruiting for ISIS. Guess what? That's material support for terror. It's a felony. You could be tried and you should be. They're doing it on campus and calling it free speech. Now, here's where this gets crazy. They are then bringing in their friends and compatriots onto the campus who are not students. And these are the people in the tents. That's why they need tents to stay there, because they don't have dorm rooms. These are the people in the tents. They're not students. And they were allowed to terrorize Jewish students with the full acquiescence on these campuses of the campus leadership, who, instead of sending in the police local in their own campus police to clear the place out and say, are you crazy? We're turning you over to Homeland Security, which is where they need to go. They instead contact the Jewish students and tell them not to come on campus. It's not safe. You think this isn't going to happen to Christians next? They're next. Oh, they are so next. It's going to take one more Democrat 4-year term and they're next. The Christians will be getting messages. Hey, the pro-Hamas terror recruiters, the ones in the tents, yeah, they're not all students. They hate you too. You might want to stay off campus. Hey, you might want to keep a low profile for your little Christian group too. And no more church services. That disturbs them. It makes them so angry. So just, you know what? Go ahead and stay in your off-campus apartment. That's what they did to the Jews. They're coming for Christians next. The only thing standing in their way is Trump. That's it. You know who nailed this oddly is liberal Democrat Bill Ackerman, who basically is just saying, look, we can't do this anymore. They're turning Harvard into a joke.
And tax-exempt status. You know, another reason that induces people to give money to their university is they got a tax deduction.
Fair or unfair to try to take the tax-exempt status away?
I think it's fair, again. Harvard became, over time, a political advocacy organization for one party. When a university goes from being a university to becoming a political advocacy organization, it doesn't deserve a nonprofit status. I mean, and they have to. Harvard should be a place where students go to learn and the best research gets done. It shouldn't be a place that is allowing, you know, pro-terrorist organizations on campus. And that only allows, you know, certain kinds of thinking and speech on campus. You know, that's a political advocacy organization. It's not a university. So I don't think we're going to end up there where Harvard loses its tax-exempt status. I want Harvard to succeed. You know, it's been very important to me over time. But really, it got itself to a very bad place. And Alan.
Yeah, that's why they need remedial math at Harvard now. Well, they reject the best minds in the country to make room for people like I just described. Amber Duke with Steamboat Institute nails this.
Investment is not entitlement. The federal government does have a say if they are funding the educational institution. And Harvard, the first thing that they did after the Students for Fair Admission Supreme Court case was to say, okay, we're going to find creative ways that we can work around this, aka how can we sneakily break the law? And now fast forward, and they have refused to guarantee the civil rights of Jewish students on campus. They have repeatedly tried to violate the terms of Title IX. So if you are actively violating federal law, then you don't get a dime of taxpayer money. That should be basic.
It's that simple. Donald Trump, pushing back on the fake news, suddenly cares if Catholics might be offended by Trump dressed as the Pope, which he posted on his own account and on his White House account in a deliberate attempt to trigger the media. It worked. Now, these are the same people who were not at all offended when the FBI sent undercover operatives in to try to frame the most religious, most conservative Catholics. Even developed sources inside two churches in two jurisdictions. Yeah, I didn't care about that. But this thing, because suddenly they are so worried that Catholics might have been offended. And they asked Trump about it. Here's what he said.
We Catholics were not so happy about the image of you looking like the Pope.
Oh, I see. You mean they can't take a joke? You don't mean the Catholics. You mean the fake news media. Not the Catholics loved it.
They did. Everybody I know is Catholic. Everybody thought it was hilarious. It's a joke. And it's a show. It was a self-deprecating joke. Of course, Trump could never be the Pope. Look at the Playboy lifestyle he's lived. He was making fun of himself. Why did he do it? Because he didn't want the Democrats talking about the negative 0.3% growth all weekend. And it worked brilliantly. By the way, those were Biden's numbers. That was the first 9 weeks of the Trump administration, the last 4 weeks of the 3 weeks of the Biden administration. They were Biden's numbers, but if the Democrats were on their game, they would have lied and spun him as Trump's. But they were so busy freaking out over the Pope post, they didn't get around to it. When? Trump column.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.